Would this morning please to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. If you don't have a Bible, the text verses will be on the screen. Wonderful, wonderful attendance today. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Last little while we've been learning what it means to be an overcomer. We've learned that it's not some kind of super saint. It's not a Christian with a big SC emblazoned across their chest that somehow they're just a cut above all the rest of us, that somehow they live on a different plane. No, every believer in Jesus Christ is an overcomer. I'm reminded in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Christian, we are overcomers. Let's say that together. 1, 2, 3. We are overcomers. And that's never more true than in the area of worry and anxiety. Most of us believe that there's no cure, that there's no escape anxiety and worry in our lives. We're tormented many times with worrisome thoughts and worrisome feelings. It disturbs us. And we've learned that worry's not, it can't lengthen your life, but it sure can shorten it. And if it doesn't shorten it, it makes it difficult living, doesn't it? It tends to overwhelm and overcome us. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, when we look at God's prescription pad, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." That word careful, we learned, means to be filled with anxious care. It's the idea of having a worrisome heart. Worry has been defined as to feel uneasy or anxious, to fret, to torment oneself, or to suffer from disturbing thoughts. It affects us inwardly, and then every area of our lives as it begins to churn inside of us as we worry about the different situations and circumstances of life, what will be. It's a battle in our minds where we're divided between legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. Our hearts divided between legitimate feelings and destructive feelings. The word worry has the idea of being pulled in different directions, to be torn apart. Can I help us understand something this morning? God doesn't want His children's lives to be ripped apart by worry. God doesn't want you and I to be overcome with worry. He wants us to overcome worry in our lives. He does. And God's answer for our worries is His peace. Let's keep reading. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Look at verse 7. "And the peace of God." God said, "I don't want you to live a worry-filled life. I want you to live a peace-filled life. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it's beyond our comprehension, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God wants you to win your war with worry, over worry. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for a wonderful day in Your house. I so miss when I'm not here. And Lord, I watched the services and was blessed by them, but there's nothing like being in the presence of God's people here at Calvary Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that Your presence will be real this morning. Lord, not everybody struggles with worry, but many of us do. Lord, there's times that anxiety and worry actually paralyzes and overwhelms our lives and we're overcome with it. Lord, I pray that today we might learn from Your Word, Your prescription, Your answer for a worrisome and a troubled heart. And Lord, that we wouldn't just hear it, but we would put it into practice in our lives. That we might find Your peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, a deep settled calmness in our heart. That Lord, You have this because You're greater, Lord, than anything and everything that can ever come into our lives. Or that happens in our world around us. I pray that for the next few moments we'll lift our eyes toward heaven. And Lord, we'll look to You and find answers for help on earth. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we've been learning about this battle with worry, about winning over worry, about being an overcomer in this area of having an anxious and a worrisome heart. And we learned, first of all, if I'm going to win over worry, then I need to make every day a joyful day. We need to make every day a joyful day. Look again, if you would please, within our context, verse number 4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. Can I tell you that God's answer to this matter of worry in our lives is to make every day a joyful day. To live in an atmosphere of joy. Now notice He didn't say I'm to rejoice in every circumstance. He didn't say I'd rejoice in every situation in life. But what He does say is that I can always rejoice in the Lord. Amen. We've got His presence. We've got His power. We've got His provision. We've got His paradise. Listen, joy is more than a feeling. It's a choice. We choose to rejoice. That's why it's a command. I can't command how I feel, but I can command what I do. Some people are waiting on a feeling to rejoice, and what you ought to do is rejoice and then get a feeling. How about that? Actions, feelings don't produce actions. Actions produce feelings. And so often, one of the reasons why we're overcome with worry is we're allowing illegitimate feelings to control our lives rather than us in the power of the Spirit of God taking control. And one of the ways we do that is by choosing and making the decision that we're going to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? All right, number 2, I want you to get this. Are you ready? Turn your worry list into a prayer list. Turn your worry list into a prayer list. Look again at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Did you see that? Notice He's going to talk about two words in our text, nothing and everything. They're the most exclusive and inclusive words in the English language. Nothing means nothing. It does. Everything simply means everything. I mean, that's the big things, the little things, the important things, the unimportant things. You know, maybe it'd help you out to just jot down what you're worried about. Make a worry list and then determine that's going to become my prayer list. How about that? Matter of fact, somebody said everything is included in prayer that it might be excluded from care. We're not to be careful, but prayerful. God's saying don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And that word everything means every single thing. Christian, listen to me. We need to learn to pray in detail. To list our worries, list our anxieties, list our fears, and then bring them into the presence of an all-wise, loving Heavenly Father that wants to care for our lives. Listen, I need to bring every circumstance, every situation, every care, every worry, every fear, every concern. Hey, I can bring it all to Him. Amen? And leave it there. Isn't God good? Y'all have to bear with me this morning. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul did. I believe that's what the Philippians were to do, and that's what you and I should do. I want us to look through the book of Philippians real quickly just for a moment, and I want you to notice Paul's dealing with anxiety and worry. Could we do that? Look if you would, verse number 12. He said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me." Did you see that? I want you to underline that phrase or look at it in your Bible, "which happened unto me." This is what is going on in his life right now. The uproar in Jerusalem, his arrest, his standing trial, his now imprisonment in Rome, awaiting to stand before the Supreme Court of Rome, to stand before Nero, unsure of the outcome in his own life. He doesn't know whether he's going to live or whether he's going to die. It is the things that have happened unto him. Look, if you would, verse number 14. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds," notice, "are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Notice that word bonds. He's talking about what's going on in his life. His chains of imprisonment in Rome. Look at chapter 1, verse number 19. Chapter 1 of book of Philippians, verse 19. He said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Notice the two words, "that this." That's the things that have happened. This is what is going on in his life. All right? Look at verse number 27, our theme verse. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else be absent." You know what? Paul's dealing with a world of uncertainty. He doesn't know whether he's going to be there or where he's going to be away from them. He doesn't know if he's going to live or whether or not he's going to die. He has no idea about the future. He doesn't. I want you to look at chapter 2, verse 23. Chapter 2, verse 23. He's talking about sending Timothy. "Him, therefore, I hope to send presently." Watch this phrase. "So soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting in a Roman prison and I'm in chains and I'm awaiting my trial before Caesar, I think I would be eaten up with anxiety and worry of whether or not I'm going to make it. How about you? That's exactly where Paul's at. He said, "I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what the future holds for me." Look, if you would, chapter 4 and verse 6. Our text verse. Notice what he says. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything." Everything. Every situation, the things which happened unto me. Now I want you to look now at verse number 11. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Watch this next phrase. "But I have learned." You know what that means? That means I've learned by experience. Do you know what Paul's saying? "I have learned how to overcome." And what Paul learned is what you and I need to learn. How Paul lived is how you and I need to live. And he's going to say that. Look at verse number 9. Now we're going to come back to it. But notice what he says. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do." Do you know what Paul's doing? He's living out in real time what it means to be an overcomer. Paul didn't sit in a prison cell wringing his hands in worry. He was bowing on his knees before the God who can take care of anything and everything in his life. He wasn't careful. He was prayerful. And dear child of God, if you're going to win over worry in your life, you're going to have to stop being careful and you're going to have to start being more prayerful. See, rather than worrying, he prayed. God's antidote for worry is prayer. Worry comes as natural to us as breathing. You ever notice that? And whenever we feel the icy hand of fear and anxiety and worry begin to creep into our lives, friend, don't let it get a stranglehold on you. When you begin to feel the worry creep into your heart and mind, it's at that moment you're to go to God in prayer. Here's what's interesting. I was reading this week on the subject of prayer. Do you realize you find no one in the Bible with their eyes closed, hands and hands folded in prayer in the Bible? See, we got the idea that we have to have our eyes closed and our hands folded and our heads a certain way in order to talk to God. And you don't ever find that in the Bible. You find people standing, sitting, laying. They're in all kinds of positions. So, you want the most frequent way of prayer that you find in the Bible? This right here. Standing with their hands lifted toward heaven. You can pray anywhere, anytime, about anything. And if you're driving, please keep your eyes open. I might be in the other lane. Listen, the Bible talks about a prayer closet. Thank God for the prayer closet, but I'm glad I can pray outside the closet too. What about you? I realize that my prayer life will flow out of my personal private time with God. But throughout the Bible, you find people in a moment calling on the God of heaven. Christian, the moment you're tempted to worry, that's when you need to pray. What's beyond your strength is not beyond His strength. What's beyond your ability is not beyond His ability. And what's beyond your resources is not beyond His resources. Christian, if you want to win over worry, then make a list of your worries and turn it into a prayer list. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Because here's what prayer does. Are you ready? Prayer transfers our worries onto the Lord, casting all your care upon Him. That's what prayer does. It transfers all of our worries onto the Lord, and He transfers His peace into us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Somebody said prayer will stop you from worrying, and peace will keep you from worrying. Amen? Do you know the tense of this verb when it comes to this matter of prayer? And there's four different words for prayer in this verse. Prayer, supplication. I'm going to deal with thanksgiving in a moment. Your requests be made known unto God. I think this prayer business is serious business, don't you? And here's what's interesting. The tense of the verb is not something we do once in a while. It's what we're to do all the while. It's to be a fabric of our lives. God said, why worry when you can pray? Number three, jot this down real quickly. If I'm going to win over worry, not only do I need to make every day a joyful day, not only do I need to turn my worry list into a prayer list, but number three, I need to develop an attitude of gratitude. You see, there's two critical words that are essential to winning over worry, and it's found in the middle part of verse 6. He said, in everything by prayer and supplication. Now watch these two words. With thanksgiving. Many times we're praying to God and we're lifting up our requests, but we fail to thank Him. We fail to thank Him. The Bible said, with thanksgiving. Robert Morgan in his book, Worry Less, Live More. Here's what he said. He said, gratitude is to worry what antibiotics are to an infection. He said the old practice of counting our blessings is an effective modern treatment for what's ailing the mind. Giving thanks is essential to one's mental health. That's powerful. At times we worry and we're filled with mental anguish. And if we're not careful, if our worries cause us to become ungrateful, we begin to complain. We begin to murmur against God. I just was reading that through the book of Numbers. A whole generation of Israelites just murmuring, complaining, never thankful for anything God. You never one time say, God, thank you for opening the Red Sea. They praised Him and all of that, but you don't see that carrying on. You know, water from the rock, manna from heaven, quail. No. Just every time hit another rough patch. God, you brought us in this wilderness to die. You've abandoned us. You're unfaithful to us. You don't care. I wish you'd just left me in Egypt, God. How many times do we get that murmur complex? Somehow God's unfair. Somehow God's uninvolved in our lives. Somehow God's unloving or unfaithful. Times the fog of anxiety hides His face, become discouraged, depressed. Here's what we need to do, Christian. Listen to me. When you're engulfed with worry, you need to step out of the gloom of worry and step into the sunshine of praise. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. I want to show you some places in the Bible where thankfulness and peace go together. Look over at Colossians chapter 3, just over one book to your right. One book to the right, find Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse number 15. Y'all are listening so well today. Thank you so much. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. Now watch this. And be ye thankful. Have you noticed how peace and thankfulness go together, like peace and joy go together? Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do you think that God believes this matter of gratitude in our lives is important? You see, thanksgiving and praise go hand in hand. Hebrews 13:15, I'm back in Philippians 4. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Listen, Christian, listen to me real carefully. You can instantly lessen the level of your anxiety and your worry by finding something for which to praise God for. A heart of praise. The great Bible teacher Harry Ironside said, "We would worry less if we praised more." Prayer and praise go hand in hand. Let your request with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Developing an attitude of gratitude is essential to having a peace-filled heart. Here's what researchers have found. Isn't it amazing how you spend millions of dollars in research to find out what God's already said? Isn't that amazing? People who write down, here's what they found. People who write down three things they're grateful for every night or even a few times a week improve their well-being and lower their risk of depression. Depression flows out of anxiety. Just having a thankful list. One of the things that I started doing, if anything, good, and we had a great meeting with pastors, and on Sunday I was here. I couldn't get out of bed on Sunday, so anyway, I didn't get to preach in the churches that I wanted to. But anyway, I was right in the middle of the throes of all of it. But I began doing something I used to do earlier in my Christian life, and that's to journal. How many of you journal? Do you know journaling will lower your anxiety? Writing the Scriptures. Writing prayers to God. Talking to the Lord about your day. You see, what it is we're so busy, and I'm not trying to be unkind. I love basketball games. I love baseball. I love sports. All I had in England, in the UK, was soccer. Okay? I'm not anti-soccer, but if I've got a basketball game, I'm going to watch it first. Okay? And so that's sort of all I had. And I watched a little bit of soccer. But anyway, you know what I found again? I found the joy of just writing. And you know what? At first it became awkward. But then as I've continued it, it's become peace, a time of peacefulness in my own life. Just letting God speak to me. And jotting down scriptures. Something my wife's done throughout pretty much her Christian life. And she does a little different from me. Now, see, I have to have a nice journal. You know, she writes on scraps of paper. We're just different, okay? I'll keep all mine. She won't. That's just how we are, you know. I think somebody, maybe one day, you know, down the road, my kids, they might want to see, read one of my prayers to God. You know, I sort of, you know, have that fancy in my mind. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, you can get real personal. You have to think it out. Let me tell you what it's causing you to do. It's causing you to focus. All right? Now I want you to stay with me. Because here's where the crux of it is. We're either going to focus on our fears and our anxiety and our worries, or we're going to focus on God and His abundant blessings in our lives. Your mind, Christian, can only focus on one thought at a time. That's why when our minds and our thoughts are racing, and many people struggle with a racing mind and they can't control it. And they have mental meltdowns. Okay? Are you following me? And the reason is because their thoughts are coming quicker than they can handle them. And it's sort of like a switchboard. Remember the old timey switchboard where they were trying to connect with their hand? Y'all can Google this, okay? All right? I'm not that old. I'm still young, okay? But if you ever watch Andy Griffith, okay? Anybody watch Andy Griffith around here? All right, they've got a lady on the switchboard and she likes to listen in. Are y'all with me on that? All right? So what happens, the calls are coming in quicker than they can plug, and so it's firing, and your brain's firing quicker than you can handle the thoughts, and you have mental meltdown. And worry and anxiety engulfs and overwhelms you. And what you got to do is you got to slow your mind down. It's work. You see, what we want is we want somebody to just sprinkle some dust on us and all of a sudden we're fixed. And it doesn't work that way. Sanctification involves obedience to God. And so we slow our minds down. We win over worry by winning this battle, the control of our mind. That's exactly what God's doing here. Instead of worrying, pray. He's switching my thought processes. I'm no longer focused on a worry list. I'm now focused on a prayer list. I'm no longer complaining and grumbling inwardly. Now I'm lifting up praise and gratitude to the God of heaven. I'm no longer focusing on what might be or could be or what may happen. I'm now focusing on what God is doing. How He's blessing me in my life right now. Do you see the difference? It's called focus. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Are your worries always true? No. They're imaginations. They're not even real. They're what might be or could be that we conjure up in our hearts and minds. Well, it could be real, preacher, but at that moment it is not real. It's an imagination. It's not true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. I've never had a lovely, worrisome thought. Have you? Not one. Whatsoever things are of good report, what you would want to share and testify about. I've never wanted to get up in a church and testify about my worries. What about you? Well, first, let me tell you what I'm worried about this week. I tell you what, before we left the service, we'd all be depressed. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now watch this next phrase. This is a command. Think on these things. That's a command. You can't think, follow me, thankfulness. You can't think without thinking. I have to reflect on what God's doing in my life. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think is what we eventually become. You ever heard somebody say they were a worry wart? That means you've become consumed with worry. It controls you and defines you. And that's not what God wants for your life. He wants you to be defined by being an overcomer. The word think means to ponder. It means to meditate. It's what we give our minds to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it's verse number 2. You can jot it down. You can look at it later. We break down Satan's stronghold by bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means when the thought of worry begins to creep into my mind, I immediately take it captive and I cast it out. I refuse to think it. I change my mind. I'm not going to think that thought of worry. I'm going to lift up this matter to God in prayer. I'm going to thank God for what He's doing in my life. I'm going to thank God for what He's going to do in my life. I'm going to give this to my God. You say, preacher, if all I do is take my worry list to God in prayer, then I'm going to be praying all the time. Well, tell me what's wrong with that. Maybe that's how God designed for us to live, was in total dependence upon Him. Cast down imaginations. worries and imagination of the mind. Philippians 4:8 is a filter for biblical thinking. It filters out the worrisome thoughts, wicked thoughts, prideful thoughts, selfish thoughts, worldly thoughts, sensual thoughts, on and on and on, where we attend to wholesome thoughts. That is the crux of God's prescription for a worrisome heart. With thanksgiving, develop an attitude of gratitude. And look at verse number 9. I'm going to bring a message here just in a moment to a close. Look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, say it with me, church, do. There it is. God's not going to do it for you. God said, here's what I want you to do. And when you do, look what He says, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, God wants to give you His peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He said, in the world you have tribulation, you're going to have trials, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have times of heartache. As long as you're in the world, there's going to be problems. But in me, you're going to have peace. That's what He said. God offers to each of us His children a precious, perfect, personal, powerful peace that He alone can give. A peace that passeth and transcends every trial and every tragedy and every heartache and every tear and every pain that we may face in life. And let me just say, peace is not a feeling. It's not a warm fuzziness that comes over us. It is an inner calmness of heart. Everything raging on the outside, but calmness on the inside, because everything's all right in the Father's house, and my Father has this. Somebody said, the peace of God is the eternal calm which lies far too deep in the praying, trusting soul to be reached by any external disturbances. You say, but preacher, I struggle with trusting. I've got a weak faith. Well, I got good news for you. We may not have great faith, but we sure can have some faith in a great God. Amen? Amen. God said, instead, I want you to be an overcomer. Instead of having a perplexed heart, I want you to have a peaceful heart. Instead of having a worried heart, I want you to have a worshipful heart. Instead of having a troubled heart, I want you to have a trusting heart. Instead of a grieved heart, I want you to have a gladdened heart. Oh, how do I do that, preacher? Make every day a joyful day. Turn your worry list into your prayer list. Develop an attitude of gratitude and rest in God's perfect peace. The presence of anxiety and worry is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety and worry is optional. The choice is yours. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. I'm going to leave you with this thought. These are the words, not my words, but those of Robert Morgan. Here's what he says. Either going to worry more and live less, or you're going to worry less and live more, and the choice is yours. Let's bow our heads in prayer.